7:45, quarter till 8, Monday morning, Tommy Tucker, WWL. That means it's time to join Mark Roser, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, for Monday Morning Markets with Mark, where we take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street. How you doing, Mark?
Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. Hard to believe that the third quarter ends today.
That's right. It is hard to believe. And tomorrow starts the fourth quarter of the year. We're still getting economic news from even back on the second quarter, GDP. I'll go over it in a second. But, Wall Street has been breaking records. It's like the 40th record that was broken on the S&P. We broke records again last week. They're encouraged about the near-term future of the economy. I think there's enough headwinds, but, I've got to yield to whatever the market is thinking. And they didn't have a lot of economic news that came out last week, but the few things that did come out were pretty big items. We had personal income that continues to grow. I mean, that's good to fight inflation, and we needed that over the past couple of years. And it's growing incrementally each time we report on it. So it came out for August numbers, supposed to be up 0.4%, 0.4, which would be about a 5% annual rate. And it didn't. It missed the mark. It came in only up 0.2%, but still it was up. And then when it seems like every time personal income is up, personal spending is up. It was up by a like amount, both of them missing what Wall Street expected. But again, they were both in positive territory. And we had the Fed's preferred inflation gauge, of course. All the analysts sit at the very front 1 inch of their chair waiting for that news to come out. And when it came out favorably, that's what produced the record last week, the record in the Dow. So the personal consumption expenditure, when you hear somebody say PCE, that's what they're referring to for August. And it was up 0.2% the previous month, and it came in for August up 0.1%. So, Tommy, the significance there is we take those monthly numbers, we multiply them by 12 to get an annual rate for comparison purposes and looking at rates as we're moving through the year. So up 0.1%, that's inflation was up 1.2% in essence for the year. If you looked at August numbers and extrapolated it out, they also produce it. And somebody might say, well, 1 month is not a trend make. So you have to have maybe a companion statistic that comes out to show us, what's happening. So the year over year, they produce that as well. And in July, it was up 2.5% for a year inflation. This past month in August, it was supposed to be up 2.3, and it came in lower than that 2.2. So if they were looking at getting it down to 2% on the monthly basis, this is what a lot of analysts were complaining about earlier in the year. On a monthly basis, if you keep producing 0.1% increases, inflation is happening at barely over a 1% annual rate. The trouble with that I would have, and just speak for myself, over the year over year, you're taking numbers that are 12 months old and you're factoring those in to produce that average. And even when we're doing that, it's coming in at 2.2%. So some analysts are saying, oh, you're well within 1% category because you're factoring in larger numbers that were averaging over the past. And so we're well into striking distance. And that's where it goes back to when people were saying, well, they missed the mark. They should have lowered rates because they might push the economy into deflation or negative growth, and that's what they're trying to avoid. So they should have maybe reduced interest rates in July. They made up for it in their August meeting, actually September meeting, reducing rates by 50 basis points. And now the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, their Fed Watch tool, looks at the Fed's meeting in 38 days, and it's flipped over. The majority of the analysts responding for the next meeting were saying that, no, they're going to only reduce rates by 25 basis points at this next go-round. But actually, it's 53% now feel that they're going to push rates down by another 50 basis points at the next meeting. So that would be significant, but it's also a signaling mechanism. If you're playing catch up and you're doubling up on what would be a normal Fed rate change, increase or decrease, they like quarter point changes, and you're doubling up on these. So you're trying to play catch up, or have you missed the mark back when? Should you have done more earlier? to fend off what was going on in the economy before we slip into a recession. But many, again, like I was mentioning, many on Wall Street think, I think they're going to engineer a soft landing, think the economy is in decent health, and it's going to weather all these changes that are going on. GDP, the final revision came out for the second quarter. Economy is growing at 3%. So that's a healthy level. For not everybody knows this. Ours, the U.S. economy, is the largest in the world by a significant margin. So when you're trying to turn our economy around and modify its trajectory there, it's very difficult, because at the most recent reading, ours is a $29 trillion economy. That's what GDP is. All the value of the goods and services that are produced in the U.S. For a period of time. And they measure that quarterly. They produce those numbers quarterly. They revise them after they produce them. So this was the second and last revision for second quarter. You started off the segment right. We're finishing the third quarter now, and they start the party all over again. So by the end of October, we'll get third quarter numbers of GDP. But again, Tom, it's been healthy. And the market has responded the same, and again, breaking records here. So the next big part of economic news to come out would be the non-farm payrolls coming out Friday for September. And it's expected to be about 144,000 new jobs would be created in September. Now, this is the payroll number has probably been the most concerning, because it used to be around 300,000 a month, then it got into the twos. Now it's in the mid ones. So that's what the Fed has said before in previous meetings. We're worried about the employment numbers. If a lot of layoffs and so on start to accumulate, and we reported on those in past segments, that's, I think, the single biggest worry is what's happening with the labor market.
So I guess, as a takeaway, what could derail this?
Well, you could have I meant to say tomorrow starts fourth quarter, but it also puts us into earnings season. Mm-hmm. So two things that Wall Street likes, two things that determine stock prices, is interest rates, and they go in the right direction, down, and corporate earnings. So the right direction there would be up to maintain the stock prices where they are at these levels. It's Dow at over 42,000. So what could derail it? A very weak labor market and the accumulated layoffs that we've been talking about in previous segments. If that starts to those numbers start to get higher, the unemployment rate starts to get higher, I think that would be a big worry for the Fed. Because back to GDP, Tom, the consumer makes up 70% of the GDP numbers. So if we're pulling back collectively as a group and saying, you know, I just get feelings that the economy is slowing. There's some talk at work about, you know, we're not producing as much as we used to, and whatever industry you're in, all those conversations lead up to possibly a consumer saying, you know what, I was going to take another trip, or I was going to do this or buy a boat or whatever. Maybe I'll wait. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll wait until some of this clears up and we get a better footing on what the economy is. That has produced recessions in the past. The consumer saying, I'm just pulling back on spending. That's all it takes to push GDP down. And if it pushes it into negative numbers, that was the old definition of a recession. If the GDP numbers were being reported as a negative number, that means the economy was actually shrinking. Instead of adding to GDP, we're reducing from GDP. And that used to signal the old definition of recession. Oh, you're in a recession. GDP fell negative. When it used to fall negative for two consecutive quarters, that was the end of it. That was definitely a recession. But with these numbers, it seemed, you know, and we're looking at second quarter. So that's when the summer was just kind of in its peak. So I think that has contributed to second quarter GDP. As we move into the fall and people's travel are finished and those types of things, that'll be very telling going forward.
Very valuable information. Thank you, Mark.
Thank
pleasure
you,
as always. And we'll talk to you
my
Friday
pleasure.
When you help us manage our money with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. 754, 6 till 8. Traffic now, WWL.